Good evening. I thank all of you for coming out this evening, and I welcome you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have some notes here. I do understand why God wants me to read this stuff to you this evening. I wish it were not necessary. I wish that we didn't have to deal with the things that we are dealing with now as a whole nation. However, it's not what I want, but this is what God wants, and we're going to go through this. Going to start out in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to read just a little bit of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And as we're reading it, we're going to talk about a definition of sorts. I'm going to start at the fourth verse. This is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." This is one of the first things I ever really actually studied. And I was about 18 years old. My cousin Scott Harris came over and spent a week at my parents' house, and we talked, and this was what we studied. This is what he had me look up, and he taught me. I loved it. But in verse 6, it talks about rejoiceth not in iniquity. As a nation, we have that problem. That is one of the things that is causing all of us as a whole to sin. And when we sin, we bring all of these problems that we are facing upon ourselves. You know, the Lord is not allowed, because of the way that he set up the rules, the Lord is not allowed to protect the wicked. Okay? He's only allowed to protect the righteous. He cannot keep Satan away from the wicked ones, because basically those are the ones that are following him, and it's the way the rules are set up. So he cannot protect the wicked. He can only protect the righteous. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, and I'm going to just read a couple of verses here. Verse 5 is where I'm going to start. And this is at the time of Noah, and the earth is covered. You know, there's a lot of people at this time. It's been about 1,500 years since Adam and Eve left the garden. So the world's fairly well populated. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." that. To have God feel that way about us. We are His creatures. We are His creation. And at one point in time, we got to be so bad that He was sorry He ever made us. He had a change of thought and wished that it had never been so, and decided He was going to wipe us all out. Because we had become so bad, He was even going to wipe out the animals, because it does corrupt. What we do corrupts everything. This morning when I was reading to you about Cain, with Cain, he was given this punishment. Let's see if in the 12th verse of chapter 4 of Genesis, this is the curse. Well, I'll start at the 11th verse. It says, "And now art thou cursed." And he's talking to Cain. Okay? Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." So the sins that we do, the things that we do that displease God, can affect the things that are around us in nature. It can affect the earth. It can affect how the animals act and behave. It has gotten to the point where even the animals are not doing what is natural and what is right. Things have gotten fairly well messed up. Let's turn to Romans, the first chapter. And we'll be talking about this rejoicing in iniquity. I'm going to start at the 24th verse. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, rejoiceth in iniquity." That's what the world is doing right now. They are rejoicing in iniquity. All of those things, they get pleasure out of it. They get entertainment out of it. They think it's okay. Satan likes to tell the world, and he's trying very hard, and he's doing a good job of it, that he doesn't exist. That all of these things that it says in these two books that we have are not real, that you don't have to worry about it, that you're going to be okay. That as long as you really don't do anything quite so bad as Cain, you're going to make it. And that he doesn't exist. Well, he does. And we are not going to be okay. All the things that are happening in the world, you think they're bad now, it is going to get worse. The earthquakes and the storms and the tornadoes and the fires and all of that stuff is going to get worse. Today they had a little deal go on in Israel over in at the entry port over in Golan, by the Golan Heights. And they had this happen last month also, but today they had it happen again. The people on the Palestinian side of the border over in, and I don't know what country it was, Syria or something like that, decided that they are going to have a demonstration today. So what they did was they all marched toward that port of entry into Israel. And a month ago they did the same thing to where, okay, Israel made a ditch, filled it full of barbed wire in front of their border fence, so it would be harder for the people to come and try and tear down the fence. Today they went and they marched towards the thing, and they were all shouting in unison this one word, which was martyr. Okay? They were marching to be martyrs. And today was the day that they decided to do it, because this is the day that all of the Muslim or Arabic countries mourn for the formation of the country of Israel back in the, what was it, 1957 or something like that? 48? Okay. This is the day that they choose to mourn that happening. And so today, there were several thousand people that marched to this port of entry into Israel that wanted to be killed so that they could be martyrs, because they want to demonstrate against Israel. And they think it's going to make it go away. They've been taught that they might be able to get rid of Israel. It's not going to happen. So today, this morning, because all these people had been lied to by their religious leaders, several of them were shot. Now, the Israeli soldiers were told to shoot at their legs. When they were getting close to the gate, they screamed at them with microphones, "Don't come any closer, you're going to be hurt." But they did it anyway, because they were taught to be martyrs and that it was going to be okay for them. They were lied to by their religious teachers and by Satan. In the Book of Mormon, on page 707, we're going to do some reading now. We're going to read almost all of this chapter. I'm going to start at the 33rd verse. And we're supposed to think about us. Basically, this, what we're going to read is about us and for us. "And no one need say, they shall not come, for they surely shall, for the Lord hath spoken it. For out of the earth shall they come by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it." Now, I want you to go back to the time of Cain, Adam, Eve, Abel, Seth. Okay, those people knew God. Cain knew God. It didn't surprise Cain at all when God spoke to him. He was not shocked or anything. He knew who God was. Okay? They knew. We are supposed to believe, but they knew. Okay? There's a difference. They had knowledge of God, and we have belief. Okay? We rely on our faith. this was written by someone who had knowledge of God. Okay? It's a warning for us who have faith. And I am hoping that our faith is sufficiently strong that this will hit us as knowledge. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away. And it shall come even as if one should speak from the dead. And it shall come in a day when the blood of saints shall cry unto the Lord because of secret combinations and the works of darkness. Yea, it shall come in a day when the power of God shall be denied and churches become defiled and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts. Yea, even in a day when leaders of churches and teachers in the pride of their hearts, even to the envying of them who belong to their churches. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be heard of fires and tempests and vapors of smoke in foreign lands. And there shall also be heard of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be great pollutions upon the face of the earth. By the way, there was a mountain or a plume of ash blew out of a volcano this morning in Chile. A couple of weeks ago, one of the islands over in Iceland had a volcano blow up on it again. There shall be murders and robbing and lying and deceivings and whoredoms and all manner of abominations when there shall be many which shall say, do this or do that, and it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such at the last day. And there are churches out there that say, hey, as long as you believe in God and profess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you can go out and do anything that you want. You can go commit any kind of sin that you want as long as you profess that He's your Lord and Savior. It's going to be okay because God has this thing called mercy and He doesn't want you to be suffering and He doesn't want you to go to hell. So He's going to forgive everything that you do just because you say you believe. Well, Jesus Christ said that if you believe, then you're going to do everything that He said to do. You're going to keep all of His commandments and you're not going to commit all of these things that the natural man wants to commit. But woe unto such, for they are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be churches built up that shall say, come unto me, and for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins. Outlaw in Jalisco, Mexico. It's probably the year 1998, 99. On the side of one of the Catholic churches in that town was a big sheet. And on it was printed words, if you want to eat meat on Sunday, put your money in this box. I was just, on Halith and I were just blown away. I mean, it's outside on the side of their church. You want to eat meat on Sunday, put your money in the box. That's one of their big sins. Okay? That's something that was a no-no, but if you want to go ahead and do it, we'll let it go if you pay us. O ye wicked and perverse and stiff-necked people, why have ye built up churches unto yourselves to get gain? Why have ye transfigured the holy word of God that ye might bring damnation upon your souls? Behold, look ye unto the revelations of God. For behold, the time cometh at that day when all these things must be fulfilled. Behold, the Lord hath shewn unto me great and marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come at that day when these things shall come forth among you. And He's talking to us. Behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ hath shewn you unto me. And I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts. And there are none, save a few only, which do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes and malice and persecutions and all manner of iniquities, and your churches, yea, even every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. For behold, ye do love money, and your substance, and your fine apparel, and the adorning of your churches, more than ye love the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted. We have an aunt in our family. Her name is Tooney. It's kind of a different name. But she is a member of the RLDS, Church of Christ. They asked her to donate money so that they could build that building across the street. And she told them that there was no way she would ever give them money for that. That they needed to take the money and take care of the poor and the needy and the afflicted instead of making that building. But they didn't listen. O ye pollutions, ye hypocrites, ye teachers, which sell yourselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? Why do ye not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? I know why. It's because Satan has convinced the world that he doesn't exist. Why do ye adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, and yet suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass you by and notice them not? Yea, why do you build up your secret abominations to get gain, and cause that widows should mourn before the Lord, and also orphans to mourn before the Lord, and also the blood of their fathers and their husbands to cry unto the Lord from the ground for vengeance upon your heads? Well, that's been happening since the time of Cain. Behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you, for he will not suffer their cries any longer. And now, I speak also concerning those who do not believe in Christ. Behold, will ye believe in the day of your visitation? Behold, when the Lord shall come, yea, even that great day when the earth shall be rolled together as a scroll, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Yea, in that great day when ye shall be brought to stand before the Lamb of God, then will ye say, there is no God? Then will ye longer deny the Christ? Or can ye behold the Lamb of God? Do ye suppose that ye shall dwell with him under a consciousness of your guilt? Do ye suppose that ye could be happy to dwell with that holy being, when your souls are racked with a consciousness of your guilt that ye have ever abused his laws? We know what we're supposed to do. We have his laws with us. The whole world can get a hold of this if they want to. Everybody, practically everybody, has heard of Jesus Christ. Okay? Even the Jews admit that he was a holy prophet of God. And yet, hardly anybody wants to do what he said. A lot of us included. And yet we think we're going to be okay, and we think that, oh, we might get chastised a little bit, or we, you know, some people think you might get cast into, I don't even, purgatory or something, and for just a little while, and then come out and go to heaven. But Mormon is telling us right here, he says, behold, I say unto you that ye would be more miserable to dwell with a holy and just God under a consciousness of your filthiness before him than ye would to dwell with the damned souls in hell. It's going to be worse if you think you're going to stay in heaven when you're not worthy. You would be awful. That would just rip your heart. Your soul, your mind, it would be more torment than just going straight to hell and staying there. For behold, when ye shall be brought to see your nakedness before God, and also the glory of God and the holiness of Jesus Christ, it will kindle a flame of unquenchable fire upon you. Now, this is my own experience and my own point of view, but I know that when I commit sin, I know when I do it, okay? And it tears me up. You ever committed a sin and then tried to go to sleep at night without repenting of the sin, without, because you're ashamed to go to God and ask for forgiveness for what you did just a little bit ago, and it's just, you can't sleep good. You toss, you turn, you have nightmares, your stomach is upset, your head hurts, and you feel like you're on fire most of the night. I've done that. It will kindle a flame of unquenchable fire upon you. O then, ye unbelieving, turn ye unto the Lord. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, it's time. If you don't believe that you're supposed to repent of your sins and come unto Him and be baptized and try and do the very best that you can for the rest of your life in keeping His commandments, it's time to change your mind and start doing that, because there's not a lot of time left. For most people in this room, some of us might have 85 years, some of us might have 50, some of us might have 30, 10, 5. It's not a lot of time left, but each one of us is going to die at some point. And we had better be ready. O then, ye unbelieving, turn ye unto the Lord. Cry mightily unto the Father in the name of Jesus, that perhaps ye may be found spotless, pure, fair, and white, having been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb at that great and last day. Because He really does want to do this for us. God does want to do this for us. He wants to cleanse us. But we have to be willing to do what He said. And again, I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, that there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healing, nor speaking with tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. I was between 18, 19 years of age, and I met a prophet. He was a prophet of God. He was a true prophet. I've talked to you before about him and what he prophesied concerning this church over here and how that prophecy came true. Everything that he said was going to happen, happened. Even the fact that they would be broken up into many little splinters. Interestingly enough, for a long time, those little bitty splinters called themselves splinter groups. That was their own name. So yes, there are still prophets. There are still revelations and prophecies. They're still speaking in tongues. There are still miracles being performed. Thankfully, God healed me last night of a problem I was having. And now, if ye have imagined up unto yourselves a God which doth vary, and in Him there is shadow of changing, then ye have imagined up unto yourselves a God which is not a God of miracles. But behold, I will shew unto you a God of miracles, even the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it is that same God which created the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them are. Behold, He created Adam, and by Adam came the fall of man. And because of the fall of man came Jesus Christ, even the Father and the Son. And because of Jesus Christ came the redemption of man. And because of the redemption of man, which came by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed, because the death of Christ bringeth to pass the resurrection, which bringeth to pass a redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall be awakened by the power of God when the trump shall sound. And they shall come forth, both small and great, and all shall stand before his bar, being redeemed and loosed from this eternal ban of death, which death is a temporal death. And then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them. And then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still. And he that is righteous shall be righteous still. And he that is happy shall be happy still. And he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. And now, O all ye that have imagined up unto yourselves a God which can do no miracles, I would ask of you, have all these things passed of which I have spoken? Has the end come yet? Behold, I say unto you, nay, and God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. Behold, are not the things that God hath wrought marvelous in our eyes? Yea, and who can comprehend the marvelous works of God? We're the creatures. We're the created ones. Okay? We're not the creator. We are what he made. Our minds, the things that we think about, all those things, those thoughts, he made all of this. Okay? Not us. He has done this, and he is amazing, not us. He is miraculous, not us. Behold, I say unto you, nay, and God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. Behold, are not the things that God hath wrought marvelous in our eyes? Yea, and who can comprehend the marvelous works of God? Who shall say that it was not a miracle that by his word the heaven and the earth should be? And by the power of his word, man was created of the dust of the earth. And by the power of his word hath miracles been wrought. You'd think that Mormon knew exactly what was going to be in the news in our time about teaching evolution and all of that stuff. You'd think that Mormon knew all of this stuff was going to happen. I mean, from what he's saying, it's like, who's going to say that God didn't do this? Who? Which one of you is going to say it? He knows it's going to be said. And who shall say that Jesus Christ did not do many mighty miracles? And there were many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be a God of miracles and yet be an unchangeable being? Amazing. How could that have happened? And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God, and he ceaseth not to be God. And is a God of miracles. And the reason why he ceaseth to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not the God in whom they should trust. Behold, I say unto you that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. Just recently, one of our ministers talked to us about Andrew Jackson asking for a national day of prayer and fasting. I think he said that was the last president of the United States to do that. Okay. In our monetary pieces that we have, doesn't it say, in God we trust? And know not the God in whom they should trust? Doesn't it say that on our money that we do trust in this God? And yet it was in 1824... was the last time we asked for a national day of prayer and fasting by the President of the United States. who do we trust in? Behold, I say unto you that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples which should tarry, yea, and also to all his disciples in the hearing of the multitude, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We are supposed to preach that to everyone. Those of you who are listening to me right now that have not done that, that have not repented of your sins and been baptized, you really do need to start thinking about it. You do not have a lot of time left. And the longer you put it off, the easier it's going to be for you to put it off. Okay? He wants you to believe on him. He wants you to understand what it means to repent and be baptized. And he wants you to keep his commandments until the day you die. Do it the best that you can, and he'll help you. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I have actually heard of all of those things happening in this church. Every single one of them has happened in this church. And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. And now behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? Who can deny his sayings? Who will rise up against the almighty power of the Lord? Who will despise the works of the Lord? Who will despise the children of Christ? Behold, all ye that are despisers of the works of the Lord, for ye shall wonder and perish. All of those poor people out there that are rejoicing in the iniquity of the world, whether it's coming to them in the news, in their own heads, through the radio, on TV, at the movies, from their friends, their teachers, whoever they're getting all of this, that it's okay to do all of this iniquity, continual sin, even though they know it's a sin, they're going to perish. And they need to know it. They need to be taught it. And there's not a lot of people out there that are teaching them that. Okay? You don't have to be a minister called and ordained by God in order to go and tell the people, this is not the way to be. Okay? That's everybody's responsibility that's in this room, is to go out and let the people know the garbage that's in the world is not the way we're supposed to be behaving. God is not going to protect all of this nasty filthiness that is going on. Our country could be overrun at any time right now. And it could happen according to the scriptures. I had a friend of mine from Mexico. And we were talking one day, and I was talking to him about what's going on in the world and everything. And he told me that he said that all of the young Latin American or Hispanic people in the country, in the United States, are angry and upset. And rightfully so, because of the way they're being treated and looked down upon. And they come from countries where, well, we talked about it the other day, that $200 a month is a good wage. And they come here and they see all of this that we have, and we throw away more than $200 worth of stuff in a month's time. And they look at that, and then they look at us, and then they see how we treat them. And yeah, they're upset. They're angry, actually. And if all of those people decided at the same time to rise up against us, talk to Nathan and Anna about what it's like in Mexico right now. The head of the Mexican Judiciales, okay, that would be like the head of the CIA or the FBI, has to pay the Mexican mafia groups, and there's four main ones, three big, one semi-big. He has to pay those people money so they don't kill him and his family. It's that bad, okay? Now think about here. It wouldn't take that much for all of these Latin American people who are already upset with the way they're being treated here to really get upset and pick up whatever weapons they could find and just let us have it, like a lion among the sheep. So yeah, it could happen. Despisers of the works of the Lord, for ye shall wonder and perish. Oh, then despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that ye may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. See that ye are not baptized unworthily. See that ye partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily, but see that ye do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if ye do this and endure to the end, ye will in no wise be cast down. He's speaking to all of us. He's speaking to everybody in this country. He's speaking to the whole world. Those words are for now, for everybody. We don't have a lot of time left. None of us, even the youngest ones here, there is not going to be a lot of time left. I'm sorry. I wish that we did have more time. I wish that things were not as bad as they are. And there is a possibility that we might be able to prolong it for just a moment. In the house of Israel, God promised that they were going to be destroyed. And destruction was right at the door, right at their border. It was right outside of town. Jerusalem was ready to be overrun. They were surrounded by two armies. And another army was coming, and then there was another army coming from another area across the sea, and they were all coming because they all wanted to kill everybody in Jerusalem. And the people in Jerusalem knew that this was happening, and they knew that they didn't even have sufficient enough armament, let alone men, to withhold and stand off all of these armies that were coming at them, and they were coming all at once. From a bunch of different places. And so they declared a fast. And they fasted and prayed. Everybody did. And they repented of their sins and they asked God for forgiveness and they asked God to spare them. And he talked to one of the men there who was a Levite and told him, I forgive you. I believe you. tomorrow morning you're going to get up and all of you are going to march out of the city and you're all going to be singing praises to me. You're not going to fight anybody. You're not going to have to draw a sword. I just want you to march out of this city and sing praises to me, and I'll take care of everything for you. And so they did. They had all of these people singing, and they marched out of the city. And as they got to where all of these armies were camped, all of this stuff was going on. There's noise and commotion and everything. They could hear all of this, and the closer they got, they started encountering dead people. God had caused such confusion among all of these armies that were ready to kill Israel that they started actually killing each other, and they wiped each other out. And the house of Israel was saved, but only for a little while. They weren't saved for 100 years. I think they only lasted another 25 years at the most. And then they fell away again. But we still have time to repent. We still have time to teach our neighbors that they need to repent. We still have time to explain to them all of the things that are going wrong in the world are because of the fact that we have started to rejoice so much in iniquity, if we're willing to teach them. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.